Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord here in person and also online. God be praised for giving us another beautiful day. His mercies remain new today as well, and we're thankful for that because we need His mercies with all that is going on in our world today. What would it take for you to stop being a Christian, a follower of Christ? Name calling? A certain amount of money? Apathy? Anything? Good. May none of us who follow Christ come to deny Christ. Pressures to denounce Christ, they exist. They are real. God help us then recognize such pressure and stand firm. Today we receive further encouragement to do just that, to stand firm in and through Christ. And so our worship service is focused to that end. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our bulletin. Before we get into the invocation, just a note about the music for today. The hymns are from our latest edition of the hymnal, Christian Worship. You'll recognize in this edition, as we get more into it, of Christian Worship, many of the hymns were taken from and are included in Christian Worship, the original edition. And then there are some additional hymns that have been added, all doctrinally sound. To God be the glory for that. Let us now continue with our invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word through word and song.
And accept our words of thanks and praise.
For the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues for all generations.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
I invite you now to page 13 of our bulletin for our opening hymn, Come Away from Rush and Hurry. Our vocalists will sing through verse 1, then we'll join together in singing verse 1 and the remaining verses.
God's anointing.
Please stand as we turn back to page 3 of our service bulletin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me. According to your unfailing love, cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, govern the nations on earth and direct the affairs of this world so that your church may worship you in peace and joy.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. We're at the fifth Sunday after Pentecost in our church here. A reading from Holy Scripture for this Sunday, Genesis 39. A reminder that injustice is nothing new, and yet the Lord God can still work out good while others intend harm. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife." We read together, "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you now to page 14 for our next song in response, Christ the Vine. What is of greater value to you in this life, and how do you reflect that to be the case? A reading from Holy Scripture, Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song. Has made his salvation known. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Make music to the Lord with the harp. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 9th chapter. How you answer the question in this reading is important. It can lead to lifestyle changes. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Together, then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We turn now to page 15 for our next hymn, By Faith. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father, and also our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to our gospel reading for today. I ask you, if you have it open, to read with me once again from Luke chapter 9, the emboldened words, verse 23. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us to a life filled with hope and peace and joy and comfort. Our Board of Outreach is working on a survey to conduct in our neighborhood, which would help us determine as a church what our beliefs ought to be. You okay with that? After all, we want to be in touch with our neighbors, with where the people are at in our community, in our area. And then a couple years from now, we plan to redo that survey throughout the neighborhood, just to make sure if we need to make some changes that we do so in order to keep up with where the neighborhood is at. Again, what do you think? This really could help our church grow, don't you think? I mean, after all, isn't that the true measure of success? The size of the church? No, our Board of Outreach is not going to conduct such a survey. Our Board of Outreach, together with each one of us gathered here and who are members of this congregation, we are to be on the same page, and that page is to go out into the community, not to find out where they are at per se to change our doctrine, but rather to declare to them the wonders of God, and at the heart of those wonders, the Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He has to offer them. We want people to hear that message. And at the same time, we do want to hear what people are saying about the Christ. We do want to get a pulse of the neighborhood, not so that, again, we can change our doctrine, but rather so that we can be better equipped to witness to the people in our neighborhood. And when people realize that we're not going to change God's word, even if it's not popular on some point, and that they want to challenge us on that point, or because we're not willing to change our doctrine, they are seeking plans to get rid of us. But when it comes to that, God help us take up our cross daily. God help us clearly confess Jesus as the Christ daily. It's so important that we do so. It's so important that people come to know who the Christ is. We have to get this right. Jesus was making that point clear with his disciples asking that question. Who did the people say that I am? He had sent them out on a mission journey, a field test, so to speak. And now they had come back and, well, what do you hear? What are the people hearing about me? What are they saying about me? Again, we have to get this right about the Christ. He is the promised one. The one who was foretold by the prophets throughout the Old Testament to be the one who would come and rescue all people from the hand of sin, to reconcile them unto God, their Creator. I mean, it was a fair question for Jesus to ask the disciples, and it is a fair question for us to ask people today. I mean, Jesus being the promised one, he gave plenty of proof while he was walking on this side of heaven that he was that promised one. Through the message he spoke, it was something different from what they were hearing from their religious leaders. It was something different from what they have through their natural knowledge of God. That he and the Father are one. And as one, they're on the same page, that salvation is not by our works, but rather through the promised one alone. That message has not changed from before Christ here on earth to Jesus here on earth to still today. And then the miracles that he did. Again, here, people were hearing about these miracles, so who's behind the miracle? What are people saying? Well, you and I know by the grace of God, he was and is the promised one. And thanks to the Holy Spirit, we are clear on this. We're also clear on the fact that not only he is the promised one, but he did as promised. He came to be the suffering servant, to seek and to save the lost, which included you and me, includes all people of this world of all time. And so Jesus makes the first of three references in Luke about what his purpose was, that he would be handed over, would have to suffer and die. That's why he came. Because again, we cannot save ourselves no matter how good of a person we are or no matter how good people think we are. Our works do not merit God's favor. Our favor, rather, has been merited through the work of Jesus, the suffering servant, the promised one. He is the Christ, Greek, Messiah, Hebrew, interchangeable, the anointed one by God, the Father, to be the Messiah, our Savior. Well, as Jesus knew already, but hearing it from the lips of his disciples, and we would get similar answers. But back then, the disciples, in response to the question, who do people say I am? Well, some say, you're John the Baptist, preaching a message of repentance. I mean, Jesus was preaching a message of repentance. So maybe John the Baptist is back around among us. Some say Elijah, a well-known prophet in the Old Testament, another preacher of repentance. Perhaps he's back among us again. Or he's just one of the prophets of long ago that somehow is back among us, preaching a message of repentance. There's a common theme here, a message of repentance. There wasn't absolute assurance on who Jesus was from the people of this world, thus Jesus sending out his disciples at the proper time to let people know who indeed he is, the promised one, the one who came to suffer for them, to redeem them. As Jesus was asking the disciples this question, he does give us another important example for us to follow. What was he doing? He was taking the time to pray. I mean, here is Jesus, God himself, taking time to pray to his heavenly Father. And if Jesus himself would make the time, take the time to pray to his heavenly Father, what do you think we should be doing? Making time to pray to our heavenly Father about anything and everything. I mean, Jesus knew what he was up against, what he would have to face, that he would be handed over and have to suffer and die. And so, Lord, give me strength. Then he asked the disciples, well, let's get right to it. Who do you say I am? And the disciples, represented by Peter, said, you are the Messiah, the Christ. Great answer, Peter. Who led you to say that? The Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
And then Jesus says, sometimes what we scratch our head on, don't tell anybody. I mean, he sent them out. Now they're back. But don't tell anyone what you just said. Not yet. Because Jesus knew what people were saying about him. They were looking, even at the disciple at a time, yeah, you're the Messiah, but perhaps you're the one who's going to rescue us from oppression, Roman rule, and right, you're going to remain our bread king and our medical doctor. We don't need insurance anymore. We got you. And Jesus, knowing that, that would only add to the confusion. But a time would come when you will go out and with boldness declare who I am. Well, what do people say today? When you ask the question, have you asked anybody lately, who is Jesus? What do you hear? What do you read on the surveys? What are the answers that we might hear? Well, he's one of many ways to help you live a good life. And if there is a heaven, perhaps he can help you get there. He's a role model. I mean, he lived a pretty clean life. Really can't find much against him that way. So, yeah. Perhaps if you live his life like him, that'll help you. Some say he's a fake, made up, phony. What else is out there? Well, again, we knock on doors. We ask the questions in conversations. We do the surveys and so forth so that we can learn where people are at when it comes to Jesus to better equip ourselves in a response. To go on the offense and be on the defense when it comes to answering such questions about who Jesus is. But again, how important it is for us to identify Christ clearly in our own hearts and minds so that we then can clearly define, claim who he is to those around us. And as we do, realize that we will receive blowback. We will receive raised eyebrows. And at such a time, remember what Jesus said, take up your cross daily. And give thanks for those who do confess the Christ as you do. As we take up that cross daily, God also help us then with eyes of faith, keep looking ahead so that we can take up our cross daily, knowing what is waiting for us. Jesus knew that it would not be easy for his followers, thus the encouragement that he gives to them and to us still today. He was telling them and telling us, you need to deny yourself, first of all, the pleasures in your own heart, to follow the whims of this world, recognizing that this world and all that it has to offer is temporary, and to also realize that the things of this world, they can be a distraction, and they can become our God and stand in the way of our growing up in our relationship with Jesus and can perhaps even keep us from getting into heaven, something Jesus has attained for us. That word deny means to suffer many things. We may have to suffer many things. I think of Joseph. Only by the grace of God did he remain faithful under trying times. And Moses. And the list goes on and on of believers who have gone before us. Think of the pillars of this church who are no longer with us, who by the grace of God remain faithful to the point of death, with eyes of faith looking ahead, taking up their cross daily. And so to take up our cross daily means that we are to have complete dedication to Christ, not just when it's convenient. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and with all our mind. And loving God then also means loving one another, even though they may not see eye to eye with us on who the Christ is
or in politics or whatever the subject matter might be, we still are to be respectful and kind and loving and keep on proclaiming who Christ is, living Christ. Jesus knows that pressures are not only going to come from inside of us, our desires, but also from the world around us, even from fellow Christians. I mean, because as we've mentioned many a time, unfortunately, the church is not on the same page when it comes to holding to the Christ. Too many churches have conducted surveys and have catered their teachings to the whims of their neighbors. And maybe they have grown numerically, but they haven't grown where it matters. Because God is not concerned about the size of our earthly church, but He is concerned about the condition of our heart. So God, help us take up our cross daily, whether we feel the pressures of this world or not, whether we feel the pressures of fellow Christians in other churches to cater to the whims of this world. Because it's not about the best life now. Rather, it's about the best life that Christ has prepared for us in heaven. And so, God, help us stand firm, and He does through His Word and through His sacrament. Yes, there are blessings abounding now to us that God puts before us that we can use to His glory and for our benefit. And so we don't want to look past the moment, while at the same time, we don't want to get stuck in it. Because there's so much more to come. The best is coming. In fact, it's already been attained for us. We are more than conquerors now already through Him who loved us. And nothing, not even the pressures of this world, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so God, help us take up our cross daily, making clear confessions of the Christ. And with eyes of faith, keep looking ahead as the saints who have gone before us did. And that one day we can join them in singing praises to God. So it is an important question for us to answer. What about you? Who do you say is the Christ? And as you answer that, how do you reflect your answer in your daily life? To those who say they really know Him, then we would not walk away from Him. But we would take advantage of every opportunity to learn more about Him, to worship Him, to talk Him up. Because that is included in taking up our cross daily. God, help us do just that. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. We turn now to a confession of faith. The Apostles' Creed starts on page 7.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank You for all that You give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies You show us.
You have given us Your precious Word, to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come.
Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. Amen. As Tree of Life Camp opens up today for the week ahead, watch over those involved with and attending this camp. Keep them safe from all harm. Build them up in the faith. May they enjoy the week nurturing and establishing friendships into eternity. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week, and help our married couples keep the spark in their marriage, moved by your love for each of them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our next song for all the saints on page 16.
Thank you.
We pray. O Lord God, our heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again, just to emphasize the importance of the blue connection cards. Thank you for taking the time to fill them out. As we noted last week, we're working on changing it up a little bit, where you get those connection cards and where you return them. There'll be a transition, so don't sweat it. But the boxes that were inside the sanctuary are now outside as you enter the sanctuary, so people from all directions can pass by those boxes. You'll see them on the side wall, east and west entrances to the sanctuary. There you can receive your connection card, and after you fill it out, you can put it back in there, down the slot, along with your thank offerings. But again, like I say, in the meantime, as we make this transition, you can do it the way we have been with the offering plate on the table. There's a basket still for those blue connection cards, or just give it to the usher, and they'll take care of it too. So again, eventually we'll get to that point where you pick up your connection card and you return it, and your thank offering both go in those boxes as you enter the sanctuary. Thank you for your patience on that. And then with those connection cards, again, the idea is to introduce yourself. You don't need a connection card. You don't need to hand it to somebody and say, hey, this is who I am. But do go up to people and introduce yourself, and we welcome somewhat officially, we'll do that officially in August, but officially, we can say, the Rose are here. So they've moved from Minnesota. They're here in California. So after the Wells connection, maybe the Rose can go out in the entryway and make themselves available, if you have time, so that people can meet and greet. And you can ask them their names, and they can tell you their names, and they'll keep their names next week. So when you see them again, you'll get to know them. Bible study today, we're looking at the Gospel of Luke here in the church proper. Family hour will be taking place in the multi-purpose center. That starts at 9:15. Bible study here in the church starts at 9:30. The victory service for Ed Hartog is tomorrow, Lord willing, here at the church at 11 a.m. Just see the weekly news for other things that are going on here at the church. I do have call news. Thank you for your prayers and thoughts.
And it is.
I feel like God has led me to stay. So I look forward to keep working with you. So
deceived. I'm not going to sell the house. No, not a good time for that. But that's not why we're not going. There's blessed with the work here, so thank you for your partnership. Wells Connection, let's join together in the work that we support and do together as a church body.
Hello, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. We've all heard the media reports about recent college graduates settled with enormous debt. It's true that the cost of delivering a quality education is increasing, but it's also true that Martin Luther College has a laser-like focus on affordability.
Here's a common scenario. A young person is considering a career in full-time ministry, but they're not quite sure. They'd like to try Martin Luther College to test the waters, but they fear running up debt from tuition and fees. To alleviate that concern, in partnership with incoming students and their families, MLC has set a goal that no student will need to take on loans for that first year of college. It's so important that young people who are willing to consider ministry are not discouraged from pursuing that goal because studying at MLC is too costly for them.
Don't forget that the public ministry is a way to make an eternal difference in the lives of people every day. We're talking about things that will make a difference forever. And that, to keep that in front of them too, so they don't just get paralyzed thinking about dollars and cents.
The plan is part of a larger effort at MLC to create an appealing, yet affordable, campus experience that will attract the next generation of young people considering full-time ministry.
Right now, I'm planning on MLC as a teacher track. I would really like to teach music or maybe elementary. I haven't decided exactly, but that'd be really awesome.
I wanted to be a teacher. That was the only thing I wanted to do, was I wanted to teach little kids about God's Word and help them get where I am now.
Taking on some college debt isn't necessarily a bad thing for a college student. The key is to keep it manageable. That's why MLC is focused on ensuring the total debt of its students stays below a level that's 50% of the average starting salary of a Wells teacher. It's a reachable goal if we all share in the effort. Parents, students, and members and congregations.
I do not think we can overestimate the importance of this place. If we want the gospel to live on, not only for us, but our children and our grandchildren, and for those surrounding us in our communities and world.
Another key part of the effort is financial education for the students themselves. Nearly all MLC students now receive a financial wellness training to learn about budgeting and balance sheets, to prepare for their personal lives and their roles as church leaders.
That's huge asset to be able to have a program that talks about these things, breaks it down into simple steps, and makes it approachable. Why wouldn't you want your kid to have that kind of experience as well?
Nearly every college and university faces financial challenges, but Martin Luther College is dedicated to minimizing the debt of our students so they can focus on lives of service for your congregation and the world.
One of the ways that our church body is helping Martin Luther College provide tuition assistance funds is through the Wells Martin Luther College Endowment, which distributes over $125,000 per year. To learn more about offering gifts for tuition assistance at MLC, contact mcg@wells.net.